It's now or never, your last chance to enjoy a small city, big summer event in historic downtown Whiting. And they're all shook up about this one. Join them for another Whiting Cruise Night on Wednesday, August 19th from 5 to 9 p.m. along 119th Street for an evening full of fun, music, and, of course, classic cars. So classic that this cruise night will feature Elvis's very own lost car, owned by the King of Rock and Roll himself till 1991. Elvis's mysterious custom Cadillac will be on display at the corner of Oliver and 119th to see. It ain't nothing but a good time for the entire family to enjoy. For more information, visit discoverwhiting.com.
Between the shores of the Chicago skyline and the sights of Michigan, there's a small city celebrating a big summer. The city of Whiting invites you to join in on the fun. Our star-studded summer is packed with famous characters, superstar mascots, classic cars, and musical favorites. There is something for everyone. Whiting Lakefront Park is the perfect backdrop for your memories, and 119th Street eateries and shops will add to your family fun all summer. Visit discoverwhiting.com for more details about the small city and big summer that await you in Whiting, Indiana.
If you're anything like I was, the thought of getting older was the last thing on your mind. But here we are. For me, it started slowly. The lack of energy. Never being in the mood. And when I was, I could never perform at my best. I tried the pills and other treatments with minimal results, and all but given up on my sex life. Then, I found the doctors at New Mayo Medical Center. Wow! They made a new male out of me. Feel like I'm 25 again. I have renewed vigor, so much more energy, and no longer worry about my performance. New Mayo treated me like my situation was one of a kind. With a custom treatment plan that really works, I feel great. They can create one for you too. It does not matter if you suffer from low testosterone, erectile dysfunction, or just want to last longer. New Mayo will help you.
Call New Mayo Medical Center today at 847-852-4144. That's 847-852-4144. 847-852-4144. It will change your life. 847-852-4144.
There's an old saying, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. At Flood Brothers Disposal and Recycling Services, we treasure Chicagoland, which is why we've put our heart and soul into keeping it clean for over 80 years. An American-built company, we specialize in removing and recycling refuse so that you can proudly call the Windy City home. Flood Brothers Disposal and Recycling Services. Our trucks of green keep Chicagoland clean. For service, visit floodbrothersdisposal.com.
Find hot deals on everything you need to complete your summer projects this week during Menards Project Day Sale. Brighten any room in your home with exquisite chandeliers by Patriot Lighting. The 9-light Grenadier chandelier comes in an oil-rubbed bronze finish with white linen glass, only $119. The 6-light Juno chandelier illuminates any room with its 5-up lights and 1-down light in a beautiful brushed nickel finish with flat opal glass, only $129.
Save big money at Menards.
Chicago.org.
Bears fans, trust all of our shows and team of Bears experts to get you ready for the start of the season, along with Bears reports live from the practice field, breaking Bears news, and in-depth conversation with players and coaches, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago, WJMK HD2 Chicago, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Scoreboard update.
And a pleasant good afternoon, just after 3 o'clock, and from the Score Update Studio, David Schuster with a scoreboard update. Chase Utley will soon be a, drumroll please, an L.A. Dodger. The trade has not been officially announced, but Utley is headed to Los Angeles for a pair of minor leaguers, with the Dodgers also assuming $2 million of Utley's contract this season. Meanwhile, here at Wrigley Field later this evening, Cubs and the Tigers, with John Lester opposing Dan Norris, and Starlin Castro back in the Cubs lineup this evening. He will, of course, play second base. The White Sox and the Angels out in Anaheim later tonight. Jeff Samardzija goes against Jared Weaver. Our first final on the day from the Bronx in New York, and the Yankees beat Minnesota 4-3 as rookie Greg Bird accounted for runs with a couple of home runs and four RBIs. Meanwhile, in progress in the seventh inning, Texas leading Seattle 3-2. In the fifth inning up in Milwaukee, it's the Brewers 7-6 over Miami as Chris Davis has two home runs and five RBIs for the Brewers. In the second inning, Oakland leading the Dodgers 1-0 in the first inning. Atlanta and San Diego, they are scoreless. In football, the Bears and the Colts just finished their practice down in Indianapolis, and unlike other such events of two teams practicing against each other, no fights were reported today, and John Fox says guys like practicing against other teams.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think at this point they get kind of tired of beating on each other. You know, we've been doing it all offseason as well as at training camp, and I think, it's been my experience. The guys like it. We did it a year ago in Denver, and it's been something I think that's going to kind of grow more and more as we move forward.
And they'll practice again against each other tomorrow, and they'll play against each other at Lucas Oil Stadium on Saturday night. Join Budweiser and celebrity bartender Jason Mott this Friday at 7 o'clock at Sluggers across from the ballpark. Stop in, enjoy a Bud, and help generate funds for the Jason Mott Foundation. Great times are awaiting. Grab some Buds. This scoreboard update brought to you by New Mail Medical Center. Discover the new you at newmailmedical.com. I'm David Schuster, and you are listening to Chicago's number one sports radio station, Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Boars and Bernstein.
Okay.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
At 304 Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, Boars and Bernstein.
It is time to go to the Grossinger Lincolnwood Hotline. Find over 4,000 vehicles at grossingerdeals.com. He's on Twitter at Cliff Corcoran. That's because he's Cliff Corcoran. And he writes for Sports Illustrated and had this story about how rapidly, how immediately, perhaps shockingly, the expected ended up happening right in front of us as Dave Dombrowski has pushed aside Ben Cherington as the top baseball guy in Boston. Cliff, hello.
Hello.
Thanks for taking time for us today, my friend. We appreciate it.
Anytime.
Why did this happen so fast, and how did it happen so fast?
Well, I'm not inside those discussions, so I can't tell you exactly, but this is what I've picked up. First off, Dave Dombrowski is one of the best executives, best general managers in the game. So he becomes a free agent. Obviously, some team in something of a rebuilding mode is going to go after him hard. And he's worked for John Henry before. When Dave Dombrowski was the original general manager of the Florida Marlins, he was there before John Henry bought the team, and he was there throughout the entire 3 years that John Henry owned the team, and he left for the Tigers right before John Henry sold. So they have a relationship, and they've had a relationship ever since. They've remained friendly. They've remained in touch. So, you know, the Red Sox are on their way most likely to a third losing season in 4 years. They've also got a ton of young talent, and all of a sudden Dave Dombrowski becomes available. You know, John Henry called him probably almost immediately, as soon as it was legal for him to do so. Mm-hmm. If I was John Henry, I would have done that. And he got the deal done because they're the Red Sox, and they're one of the big dogs in the yard. And, of course, Dave Dombrowski went there because they're the Red Sox, and they have all that money and they have all that talent. It just makes a heck of a lot of sense.
And Ben Cherington, I guess it'd be safe to say that was a bad offseason. This last offseason and this. Now, the White Sox isn't very good either, the offseason. But the Boston offseason was just awful. I mean, some of those guys, I mean, I don't know that anything to do with it. He probably would have taken the job anyway. But whatever they tried certainly didn't work again this year.
No, it was really bad. I mean, you know, the Hanley, right now, you cannot blame them for trying Hanley Ramirez in left field.
Agreed.
Nobody knew that was going to be as big a disaster as it was. Because, you know, the thing on Hanley Ramirez is, can he stay healthy? Well, maybe if we put him in a less demanding position, he'll stay healthy and he'll hit.
Right.
I don't think anybody thought that he wouldn't be able to play it. You know,
right.
That really, to me, is a shock, and I'm sure to them was a shock. And he's so bad out there that I think it's impacted his hitting, and, you know, it's a whole thing. Pablo Sandoval, there were reasons to be worried, and I never liked what they did with the rotation. I mean, they you know, at last year's deadline, Lester was becoming a free agent, and they had some pieces to move, and they made some deals because they were, again, they were in a selling position last year. And then they had to fill that rotation back in. And they lost out. Honestly, they went after Lester, and they lost out to the Cubs, so that hurt. Not necessarily their fault, depending on, you know, obviously, again, I was not inside the negotiations there. But then what they wound up doing, the pieces that they got, I was not enthusiastic about any of the pitchers that they traded for. You know, Masterson, I'm not at all surprised that they designated him for assignment before the year was over. He was one of the smaller ones. Miley's been okay, but he was kind of in a declining trend over the past several years. And, you know, Porcello's been worse than expected, but I did expect him to regress. It just, you know, yeah, there was not a lot of optimism for me. You know, a lot of people looked at what they did and said, well, they added two of the biggest names, free agent hitters.
Right.
And they, you know, added all these new pitchers, and, you know, they won the World Series 2 years ago, and, you know, there were a lot of people thinking positive thoughts about the Red Sox coming into the season. I was not. I was never really – I didn't think they'd be this bad, but I was not enthusiastic about it. I've never really been – yes, he did win that one World Series, never was terribly impressed with Ben Cherington. The kind of the signature deal of his tenure was that deal with the Dodgers where he dumped a quarter of a billion dollars. But that was the Dodgers doing it. And we know that now for sure. Molly Knight's book, The Best Team Money Can Buy, which looks at the Dodgers of recent seasons, has the entire details of that. The Dodgers wanted Adrian Gonzalez, and they went to the Red Sox and said, hey, if we take on all this other stuff, will you give us Adrian? And the Red Sox just kind of went, okay, great. And it was John Henry, I think, that made the deal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so really, I've never been a big fan of Cherington, and this is a big upgrade for the Red Sox.
Well, we know that Cherington famously has been more of a metrics guy than a scouting side guy. Dombrowski, the opposite of that. He's much more an active scouting, what do you see kind of thing, rather than what do the numbers tell us?
Combined,
and what does our Carmine system tell us? Is this in any way, or is it too much to say that this is John Henry's repudiation of a philosophy, or is it just he wants to try a different guy?
I think it's just wanting to try a different guy. I don't think at this point in the game, almost every team, in every team that's succeeding, is using analytics in one way or another. If you're not doing it, you're losing. You're way behind everybody else. I mean, Dave Dombrowski he's an older guy now. You know, when he first got that Marlins job, he was 31, but that was in the early 90s. You know, he's an old school kind of guy, but he doesn't ignore the analytics. He's not, turning a blind eye and saying that this is nonsense. And then the Red Sox will continue to have their analytical department. That's always been their organizational philosophy. And I think on some level, the whole this versus that, us versus them, whatever it is,
that's
history. Yeah. We're past that now. Yeah, the teams are integrating both because that's really how you succeed. You have to. The analytics are legitimate and make teams smarter and make them make better decisions. But they also have to be able to say yes, but this kid does this. This is his personality. This is his makeup. This is what his curveball does. And if he can just get this work, you got to put it together. And I think Dombrowski does that.
This happens to be a specific case where you've got guys that have at least histories, at least reputations, with one foot more in one side than the other. I mean, I'm certain that you're right, and it's very sensible that all teams have all of it. But, maybe you just get one of these owners like, well, I want to do it more this way now because this isn't working.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. It almost, on some level, you kind of think, is it that kind of the manager thing when you fire a fiery manager and replace him with a calm one, or replace a calm manager, replace him with a fiery one? Yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe. But this is, again, you're handing basically the reins of the entire organization. What the Red Sox tweeted out yesterday in their announcement, is that he is in charge of all baseball decisions starting last night. They completely handed the reins of the organization over to him. And, I don't think that you make that rapid of a shift, particularly, the Red Sox under John Henry won two World Series, broke that 86-year championship drought through heavy use of analytics. So
I
can't see John Henry abandoning that. And Dave Dombrowski isn't. He may have... And I don't really think he has that much of an old-school reputation, but again, he's been in the game since before these things really took hold in front offices. So he may have a reputation based on that, but I don't think the Tigers were necessarily an anti-analytic team under Dombrowski.
It's interesting. I've talked about this before, and I'll ask you before we let you go, because talking about what Boston did during the offseason and how it all collapsed around, the White Sox did something during the offseason and it basically collapsed on them. San Diego did a lot during the offseason and it basically collapsed on them. And Seattle went out and hired people, and they weren't bad. They're not all bad. But the fact is, Cliff, that all these teams that seemed like, that's a pretty good offseason. They got this guy and they got this guy. For the most part this year, all flat, all failures.
It's not uncommon. I wrote something several years ago, and we revisit it every now and then on SI.com, the concept of winning the winter. You know, you, mm-hmm. you, you